I am not going to continue our study tonight. I do want to talk to you in reference to something for America and 4th of July. Now, do me a favor. There's bottles of water and everything, but don't open them till I'm done speaking because they crinkle and crackle and everything else. And I know that we have the children here, and it's my sister-in-law, the rebel of the kids. Seriously, if you'll just listen to me, I thought about just talking, and then my just talking turned into a little bit more preaching, and so however it comes out, it's going to come out tonight. But if you have your Bible and you'd like to turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. Job, that or book of Job. Job, chapter 1. I'm going to use three or four verses here, then in two other chapters I'll read some verses. And then I'll read one yet other verse to you in the New Testament. And then I want to talk to you tonight. The topic I'm going to speak on tonight is this. What we need may not be what we want. What we need may not be what we want. Job chapter 1, look at verse number 19. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and it fell upon, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down on the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Watch this next statement. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Look at chapter 2, verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Turn to chapter 13, verse number 15. Job chapter 13, verse number 15. One of the greatest verses in all the Bible. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Then I'll read one verse to you out of the book of Philippians. You need not turn there. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. America, in just a few hours, will be 248 years old. 248 years ago, our forefathers met with the Declaration of Independence from England. America may not be all she could be, but there is still no better place in all the world than America. You say, Preacher, it's not what it was. Well, hang on here. She's always had her good and bad. It was just 165 years ago that we fought a war of America versus America. And everybody killed in that war were Americans. Brother on brother. You think it's bad now? Imagine fighting a war with guns and ammunition, killing other Americans over it. You see, America is not heaven. It's a country run by sinners over sinners. We're still all sinners. It's not perfect. It seems, though, listen to this statement. It seems to me like Christians in America today have taken on an idea and an ideology that is detestable to God. It is the idea that God is only good if he's good to me. If everything's going good, then God is good. But if not everything's going good for me, then God hates me, God's judging me, and I must be doing something wrong. And that's as far from being biblical as I am to being a Catholic. God is good whether he's good to you or me or not. You see, we are not the center of life. The world does not revolve around us and our circumstances. Did you hear that? We humans, listen to me, we humans are so full of ourselves. We are so full of pride that we think if something bad's happening to me, then, well, God just must not be in it. God hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. You can go eat all the worms you want. I'm not eating them. I'll eat some more of that brisket. Amen. Or chicken. Now, wait a minute. Our pride and our arrogancy to think that if not everything is going good in my life, then everything's going down the toilet and it's bad. By the way, we're getting that way in America with how we look at America. And if we're not careful, we're contributing to the bad attitude in America. Say, oh, preacher, and I've had 411 people in the last week about the debate the other night. And oh, what are they going to do? To me, I'm excited. Finally, some stupid people found out what was going on in reality. I like the, there was a poll taken. Trump won at 67% to 33%. And the headline read, 33% of America is dumber than a hammer. It's pretty close. Pretty close. People that have had their heads stuck in CNN and the other sewer lines have no idea that the cover-up. Here's the question you ought to ask yourself. Who's been running the country for the last 3 years then? You have your opinions. But wait a minute. Truth is, nobody really knows. Now, listen to me very carefully. Job lost in chapter 1, we did not read this part of it. Job lost 4 different businesses. Not only did he lose the wealth, by the way, he was the wealthiest man in the world at the time. Not only did he lose his 4 businesses, he lost all of his employees to death. Imagine 4 businesses going down and losing all the employees to death. It was similar to what took place in 9/11 in New York City. Then, the same day, his 10 grown children and their spouses were at the oldest's home, and a tornado came, knocked the house down, and killed all 10 of his children and his 10 in-laws. What did Job say? Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job didn't sit there and say, God, why me? I can't do this. I don't find Job throwing a pity party. God, why are you putting me through this? God must not like me. Well, we read chapter 2, verse number 3. This is the second time Satan came to God. God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none better. Listen to this statement. It was God who told Satan it was okay to attack Job because Job could take it. Would not lose his integrity. God was not judging Job. God was elevating Job. God says, I got a man down there. I don't care what you do to him. He's not going to tuck his tail and run. You have to understand something. Job's wife in chapter 2 or 3, he loses his health, and she said, why don't you just curse God and die? He's lost his businesses, he's lost his employees, he's lost his health. He's sitting in the city dump with a broken piece of pottery in the ashes and the heat, scraping the boils and the pus out of his boils. And this was the wealthiest man in the world. Huh. Then his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? Lost the loyalty and love of his wife. God was not judging Job. God was picking Job up to showcase him. We read in Job 13, chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now listen to me very carefully here. God wasn't judging him. God was not trying to destroy Job. For a while, things weren't going good for Job, though. Now think about it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That wasn't said while Job was rich. Wasn't said while he was playing with his grandkids. It was said at the end of a horrible day. Cataclysmic. The very idea that if everything does not go the way I want, then God is not good to me, is the epitome of selfishness. I'm going to say something here. That's true as a nation as well. I don't know about you, but I don't get over singing the Star Spangled Banner. I don't get over the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I refuse to go to professional ball games anymore because last time I went, I almost got in a fight because a couple guys wouldn't stand up. And I told him I was going to slap them in the back of the head and make sure they stood up. You say, preacher, I was ready. I thought, you know what? I can't handle this. It's better for me not to come and do this because I just can't deal with that. I left a couple innings later. They were trying to get drunk or were already drunk. I don't know which. Didn't care. But I thought, you know what? I don't need to sit in this mess to watch a stupid ball game. And I haven't gone back. Say why? Because I've got more important things to do. Amen. Now listen to me very carefully here. Not everything will go as we want in our country. It's not going to. You see the news and think America has never ever been this bad. Well, I hate to tell you something. America has been this bad and worse many times. You're wrong. The world. Oh, the world's never been this bad, preacher. Well, I know two times in history where it has been. Because God said Jesus wouldn't come back till it was as in the days of Sodom and as in the days of Noah. He destroyed the world in Noah's day and he destroyed cities with Sodom and Gomorrah. So I know it's not that bad yet. That means in history it has been worse than it is right now. Don't tell me it's never been this bad. It may have never been this bad in your lifetime. That I would agree with. Now listen to me very carefully here. Say, preacher, it's over for America. Well, if you have that attitude, it will be. But I happen to believe in revival. I happen to believe in a God who's more powerful than a government. I happen to believe in a Holy Spirit that can change people's lives. I'm sitting here in a room full of them. I don't blame the White House. I blame the church house. I blame sissy britches preachers who are afraid to preach in their pulpit and they pussyfoot everywhere they go. Got lace on their underwear, afraid to tell the truth. Well, you met one that didn't. I ain't wearing this all the time, but once is enough. Amen. Keep looking down and there's no tie. And it's like, I can take you through the pages of history and show you where administration after administration has failed as bad or worse than what we have right now. You name the century other than the 1700s and I can show it to you. Now listen to me very carefully. We must trust God that Philippians 4:19 is true. But my God shall supply all your need. He didn't say all your wants. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Okay, not going good for you now? Hang in there. Someday it will. Someday it will. You see, eventually God knows if we'll keep doing right that good will follow. Oh, he may need us to help whoop up on that old nasty devil, and we might get a mouthful of dust or a mouthful of foot or teeth knocked out, whatever. But I will tell you this. You hang in there long enough, you're going to get a couple shots back in on the devil. I happen to think the devil was a little upset with this church recently. Man, we had 15 saved last week alone. In the last 6 weeks, we've had 6 families join this church in summertime. Don't you think the devil's not happy? Oh, yeah, he's taking some shots. Say, what are you going to do, preacher? I'm like a blind dog in a meat house. Here we go. Say, what are you going to do? I'm going after him. I don't back off. Every family we lose, I'm going after 3 more. Say, why, preacher? Because I am not about to let the stinking old devil win. I read the last chapter, and guess what? We won. And I know where he's going, and it's not where we're going. You see, why do we get this mentality that if God's not good to me, then the whole world's going to hell? I'm just being frank with you. I'm going to say something here. Don't get mad at me yet, because you'll kill me later. It's time that we get Christians that grow up to be big boys and big girls. Amen. And learn to realize that this is part of life. Yes. Number one, God does not have to be good to you to be good. God does not have to be good to you in order to be good. God knows what we need collectively as well as individually. You know, I believe to some degree America needs what we're going through right now so that we don't want to go back to it. It's kind of like when your kids were little and they were old enough to make some decisions. You say, that one's going to hurt if you do that. That's okay, I want to do it anyway. All right, do it. And then they come crying to you and say, I told you you're going to get hurt. Too bad, quit crying. Everybody doing okay? Some of you mommies need to let them get hurt every once in a while. Quit coddling them. Let them get hurt. It's good. Toughen them up. As my dad would say, rub dirt on it. It's all right. Now, if it's too big, don't rub too much dirt in it. All right? But you see, sometimes we need hardship. And that hardship causes us not to want to go back to hardship. We went through the Reagan administration and then the Bush senior administration, and it was followed by Hillary and her husband. I remember the second time he got elected, how depressed I was. I thought, it can never get worse than this. You know, when Bill Clinton administration is starting to look good, it's bad. When even old Jimmy Carter, old peanut brain, starting to look pretty good right now. Now, wait a minute. We have to understand something. I thought there could be nothing worse than Bill Clinton. Well, we've topped that, or we've gone below that a few other times in history recently. Now, wait a minute. God doesn't have to be good to you in order to be good, though. Just because you have problems or opposition doesn't mean God's not good. Can I speak on behalf of God? I'm not speaking like the Pope right now, but let me say something for God. God doesn't have to do what you think is good in order to be good. You're not the standard for good. God is. Why do we think if it's not good according to our standard? Everybody doing okay? It's called pride, selfishness. It's called Genesis chapter 3, where man wants to be his own God. And you want to decide good and evil for yourself. Notice the word good. Y'all like fried chicken, I know. We just bought a heap of it and you slaughtered a whole bunch of it. Y'all like eating your eggs for breakfast and stuff, and that's good. It's good to you, but guess what? It's not good to those chickens. Hang on. It was good to you, but it wasn't good for those chickens. You have to realize something that's good to you may end up not being good to someone else. You say, well, I want this certain position at this certain job, and you get it, and it was good to you, but somebody else who wanted it, it wasn't good for them. Everybody doing okay? You see, God knows sometimes we need trouble. You are looking at, and I know some of you are not going to believe this because of changes in my life, but you are looking at the king of procrastination by nature. I was the king of flying by the seat of my britches. I got through my first year of college by doing that, but then I found out you fly by the britches too long, something hangs out, and it's not real good. And you can get so busy that you got to get something fixed. And I decided I was going to change. You people that procrastinate, you think I don't understand you? Yes, I do. I know the excuse, well, I work better under pressure. Yeah, that's a lie. You're just telling everybody you don't know how to plan. So, no, I work better under pressure. No, you don't. Nobody does. Let me put pressure on you, see how well you work. I hate pressure. I have a lot to do. I average about, let's see here, 3, 4. I average about 215, 220 sermons a year in our church. Then preaching out probably another 20 or 30 sermons. This year I've added all the radio broadcasts. By the end of this year, I will have preached over 500 times. There's only 365 days in a year, folks. That's about 1.5 sermons every day. Now think through that for a second. They don't just magically pop out of the Bible and say, here you go. There's a lot of work to it. Now wait a minute. I love doing it, but there's a lot of work. I got almost through with a radio broadcast today. I was doing 5 of them today. I got 5 minutes and 42 seconds into the last broadcast, and the stupid telephone rang. And what I'm using, I can't back up and start and stop over when something's, it just doesn't work that way. I had to erase, start all over on that last one. I don't know who called, and I'm glad I don't. Because I probably would have cursed at. No. But I was in such a hurry to get it done. I was trying to get so many things done. And I stopped, and I felt just a little bit of frustration. And Brother Scott, I said, Lord, I must have said something I shouldn't have said. Thanks. And I started over. I don't know what I said because I erased it. I wasn't going to listen to it. But I started over. Did you know sometimes those problems keep us humble? God says that it's trying of our faith that proves us. My son's sitting over in the country of Jordan right now. intercepting missiles. All of his training is being proven right now. I say, preacher, are you afraid? Honestly, no more than I regularly am. I have to trust God and trust his training. See, but he could be killed. He could be killed in California where on his regular base. It doesn't matter. Do I like it? No. When my wife and I were in Hawaii for our vacation, we went out to the USS Arizona Memorial at Pearl Harbor. Brother Larry, as my wife and I stepped on, I squeezed her hand, and honestly, the hair on my neck stood up. She looked at me, she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I sure hope to God I never have to do this for my son." Takes on a different meaning. But may I say something? When we stood at the wall with all their names, I gave them the respect I wanted somebody, if it were my son, to have. Because it was somebody's son. It was somebody's dad. Those were real lives. And most of those men died and went to hell for our freedom. You don't think you're going to shut me up? Wait a minute. It wasn't good for them, but it gave us our freedom. Was God being good? Look what we got. Still have our freedoms. We need to stop thinking that we're the center of the world. We're sinners on an earth full of sinners. We have no right to expect heaven on earth. Number two, nowhere, ever, in any area of life is having trouble or opposition a sign of failure. I get sick up to here. Brother Anthony, you've been in the ministry long enough. Preachers and preacher boys. I'm going to go till I have troubles, and then I'll find something else. Usually trouble to me means we're going the right direction. Well, I'm going to wait till I have peace. Well, you're going to wait till everything dies. I don't look for peace. I just look for God's will. Peace is a result of war. What you want is tranquility. Peace is a result of a fight. And if the devil's not fighting me, I'm probably not going the right direction. Say, preacher, is there always some battles here at church? There's always little skirmishes with me and the devil. Say, why? Because we're bothering him. These little sissy churches that aren't doing anything for God, the devil doesn't bother them, but he's going to show up here, let me tell you. Ask Brother Carl, amen, Brother Mike? He broke an 18-inch auger out here and then blew a hydraulic line. And I looked at him and said, "Brother, I am so sorry." He saw it happen. I said, "You understand. Welcome to battle at Grace Baptist Church. It does happen." By the way, people getting saved that day while he was doing it. I love it. Is it a wonder that it happened? No. It's wrong to see problems or struggle as a sign of failure and not God's will. Everybody look at me for just a second. A child doesn't fail in school because they fail one test. And sometimes failure is good for them. I disagree with not keeping score in children's sports. I believe there ought to be winners and losers at everything. Amen. I believe every kid needs to know what it's like to lose a game for their team and feel that pressure. Because guess what? It's going to happen in real life. You can say what you want. I think it's good for people to fail at work from time to time and get into trouble. Say why? Because it'll keep you humble. You don't know everything you think you know. Everybody doing all right? Hang in there. I'm coming to hit something here. When things start going bad, quit looking at it as a sign of failure. When there's struggle in the home, don't say, well, it's all failing. No, it's all growing. Did you know that friction is caused by two moving objects? It just takes a little oil to keep it from getting too hot. Say, what's that oil? Holy Spirit. Look at what Job went through. He lost four businesses. He lost all his employees in death. I imagine their families weren't real happy with him. I'm sure his insurance company dropped him. Then his children all died. He had 20 funerals to take care of, literally. Then his health was gone, and I'm sure his health insurance dropped him. And his wife looks at him and said, just curse God and die. Boy, that was real comfort. Then he had his three best friends come and sit for 7 days, stare at him for 7 days, never say a word. And when they did start talking, they criticized him and blamed everything on him. Boy, what your friends can't do when you're not feeling good. But I happen to remember what God said to Satan. Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none better in all the earth. Man that feareth God and escheweth evil. More upright than any other on the earth. Hello. That doesn't sound like God was thinking he was failing, does it? Let's quit looking around at the situation and look to God. Amen. You see, we get so selfish that we want prosperity, not God. Now it just hits you right where it hurts. Let me make a couple statements here. You're greedy for power so much that you don't want the challenge to make you strong. There are people that want position and power, but they don't want to go through the process to get to it. Power is not deserved, it's earned. You want God paying you by the job, or you don't want it. Well, I happen to believe in working for retirement benefits too. Show me one place in that book where God said, you'll never have a problem. Show me one place where God even hinted towards that. I can show you thousands where it's opposite of that. How dare you get upset with or get bitter at God because he doesn't follow your standard of good? Can I tell you something? Not everybody grows up in the perfect home. I was blessed. My mom and dad were married since Noah got off the ark. They were just... Before my mom went to heaven just a couple months shy of 59 years. I get that I was spoiled. Not everybody has that. But guess what? God uses people that didn't come from homes like that too. God uses people with an education. God uses people that don't even have a high school diploma. Everybody doing all right? So, well, I'm not the smartest. We knew that. Just because you had a heart, some of you catching that one by slow freight, and yeah, that was you. What right do we have to get upset with God because our life was a little hard? Maybe God wants you to teach another generation how not to go through that. Some of you have made some bad mistakes in life. Guess what? You can teach somebody how not to do it. The greatest people are great by definition due to the victory and battle they had to overcome. Name me some of the greatest people in that book right there. I'll show you the people who were in the biggest battles. Moses. Noah. How'd you like to build a boat for 120 years and put up a Jefferson County? I mean, let's face it. Think about Joseph in the Old Testament. Think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, David. I could go down the list. Elijah, Elisha, the Apostle Paul, the disciples. You show me the great people in the Bible, I'll show you people who had to come through the biggest and the hardest trials. They're great to you because of the size of the victory they had. They would not have been great without the battle, though. Okay, I'm not going to look at you when I say this. God does not need your opinion to do good. He's the source of all good. God doesn't care whether you think it's good or not. He is the source of good. Number three, and I'll finish quickly here. Some of the sweetest times with God come because of hard times. Some of the sweetest times that you'll ever have with God are when you're in the dark hours, Brother Jim. All sunshine makes a desert. Heard a preacher once say it this way, and I kind of agree with it. I'd rather starve to death in the will of God than to live in prosperity out of it. But you would have starved to death, but I'd been in the will of God. Thirty-six years ago, I promised those two people that if they let me have their oldest daughter, because I didn't want the other one, that I would take care of her. And I promised my mother and father-in-law this. I said these very words. I will do my very best to keep us in the will of God our entire life. 35 years later, we're still in the will of God.
Amen.
Having the time of our lives. Has it been perfect? No. Has it always been smooth? No, she had me. We've seen heartache. We watched our firstborn just about die and live on life support for 3 weeks when he was 4 months old. I've taken the phone call from the doctor. Hurry up, he's not alive. We'll try to keep him alive till you get here. Yeah, been there. We've taken the phone calls from our children as we've lost 5 grandbabies. We've taken the phone call from our oldest and his wife when they were fostering 3 and supposed to be in the process of adoption, and the state pulled all 3 of those away. 8 grandkids gone. I say, preacher, does it hurt? Like you don't know. But I happen to know there's 5 of them in heaven I'm going to see someday. My mama's up there taking care of some of them right now. You see, God was still good on February 6, 2001, when my pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, went to heaven. It wasn't a good day for us, but listen to me, it was a good day. Because without that, this church would not be where it is today. Plain and simple. God was still good on the day that they falsely tried and convicted Jesus and killed him at Calvary. But bless God, you better thank God that wasn't a good day for Jesus. Because God was still good. You want a crown with no cross to bear. You want a victory with no battle to fight. You want a cure with no illness to endure. You want a rainbow with no storm to go through. You want a deliverance with no bondage. You want an empty tomb with no Calvary. You want a quenching without ever being thirsty. You want a promised land with no wilderness. You want waves calmed without stormy seas. You want a sunrise without ever having a night. You want a solution without ever having a problem. You want perseverance without having hardship. You want an upper room without a Gethsemane or a Calvary. You want spiritual fruit without the labor of time. You want disciplined children without training. And you want America without a revolution. May I tell you something? It doesn't work that way. I'll finish with this. God was good when the religious crowd hated Jesus so much that they devised a plan to kill him. God was good when his friends betrayed him with a kiss. God was still good when Jesus was falsely accused and tried and found guilty. God was good when Peter denied Jesus three times and cussed and swore. Peter, the one who'd preached Pentecost in 50 days. God was still good when the crowd chose to release a murderer named Barabbas and kill Jesus. God is still good as Jesus hangs on the cross. Now listen to me very carefully. God is good and his goodness is all the time whether there's problems or not.
Amen.
Let's quit telling God what we need for him to supply. Look at me. You have no right to tell God what you need. How about we thank him just for what we've got?
Amen.
We have no right to tell God what we need. Say, well, preacher, I know what I need. No, you don't. Sometimes you need a swift kick. And you want patted on the head. Sometimes you think you need the kick and you need the pat on the head. See, you don't really know what you need, but God said, I'll supply all your need. Not needs, need. He'll even provide the need, like he did Job. And all this, Job sinned not, nor cursed God foolishly. Blessed is the name of the Lord. That didn't come from somebody on the mountaintop. It came from somebody digging a tunnel under the mountain. He was so low he had to reach up to scratch a snake belly. It wasn't in a good day. It was a bad day. Maybe we ought to quit bellyaching about how things are going and realize God's good whether it's going good for me right now or not. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I'll ask everybody to be still for a moment and be honest. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure. I know for sure I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of them. Thank you. I'm going to ask Brother Randy to play in just a moment. When he does, we won't take time to come to the altar, but maybe you'd like to just slip from your seat and kneel at your chair. Use it as an altar. Whatever God's working on your heart tonight, hey, if God's going to reach America, it's going to be through people just like you and me. There's hope. As long as there's still breath in the lungs, there's hope.